This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, everyone. Everyone listening on KVC.com, as well around the world, in Israel, Gaza, and why are you looking at me, Carrie? Oh, I'm getting right into things.
All right.
I am not going to have small talk with you today. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, and today, as usual, I am here, right here in Culver City, California. I love the music. To be the managing partner of your life, Carrie Kasem is here with me, my wonderful co-host, and I'll tell you, you look like crap. You're sick, and I so appreciate you coming into the studio today.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's food poisoning or whatever, but not feeling so hot, but that's okay. I'm here.
But you look good for someone who doesn't feel good.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming, because I got to tell you, the last time we talked about this and when I opened up the show today, I usually don't open up the show and say thank you for listening in Israel and Gaza, Palestinian territories, wherever, in the Middle East, Lebanon. I usually don't say that, but they are listening on KBC.com, but I'm doing it because of what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
And about 3 years ago, we tried to talk about this subject, Carrie and Alan Gervie. That's me. And she's staring at me saying, what are you going to say? The only show we had to pull
was this one.
We pulled it. We did not air it. Now, we're live today. We are live. But at that point, we were doing a taped show, and we couldn't air it. We had to run a rerun of Gervie's Law because it got way out of line between Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie. And we have gotten out of line a lot this show over the years.
We have. I'm glad it was pulled.
It was pulled.
Yeah.
And this one can't be pulled.
No, it can't be. So I'm glad you're very aware of that. I remembered that, and I didn't know if you remembered that show.
I don't forget anything. You know that. I know every guest that we've ever had on the show. Although sometimes, I run into them, and they say, oh, I was on your show. And I go, who are you?
Oh, no. That's awful. Yeah. I had somebody, that happened to me 2 days ago. I was talking to somebody, had no idea. They gave me a hug. They'd been on my show 7 years ago. I did not remember.
I'm going to try and remember from now on everyone on the show, but I did remember that show. And a belated happy birthday to Carrie Kasem.
Thank you.
You had a wonderful birthday this past week, I know.
Oh, it was really fun. Karaoke. It's always my favorite. Always.
And you're good at it when you're healthy.
Yeah. Well, even when I'm sick. I've performed when I've been sick before. I can do it.
You can do it.
I'm a professional.
You need to perform today because we've got some great guests on the show. It's a very passionate subject we're talking about today. There is a new documentary film coming out next month, and it will be something to see. I even tried to get a copy of it to watch it. But Ian Halperin wouldn't let me have it. He said, you look at the trailer. This is going to be some big fanfare when Wish You Weren't Here, the documentary comes out. It's about Roger Waters. Now, you have a huge interest in music. You did the show Sixth Sense with Nikki Sixx for many years.
Yeah.
And Roger Waters, of course, founding member of Pink Floyd.
That's right.
He's on tour right now, just finished a sold-out concert in Miami, and he's going to be in Atlanta tomorrow night. I'm not necessarily trying to promote the show, but we do want to hear about this new documentary, Wish You Weren't Here. It is by Ian Halperin. He is a Canadian investigator. I have to say Canadian because, of course, I'm Canadian. Investigative journalist. He's a writer and a documentary filmmaker. He did the wonderful documentary Unmasked, The Final Years of Michael Jackson, which was a New York Times number one bestseller. In fact, Ian predicted that Michael Jackson would pass away 6 months before he did. And that, you can Google that. He did that. He also was involved in the Celine Dion Behind the Fairy Tale, Fire and Rain, James Taylor story. So he has a lot of experience. He co-authored Who Killed Kurt Cobain with Max Wallace. He's had a lot of experience in these type of documentaries. He's getting into people's brains and people's lives. And today we're going to get into Roger Waters' brain. And we also have on the show with Ian will be Dr. Charles Small. He is the authority, the world's leading voice on anti-Semitism. He's the founding director and president of the Institute for the Study of Global Anti-Semitism and Policy, ISGAP, as we like to call it. And and I'm still coughing. You can't be your doctor.
Yeah, you're going to go next week, right?
I'm going to the doctors. And then we're going to have Esty Chandler on. She's a former actor. She was in the Emerald Forest, Pleasantville. She played Nikki in Teen Wolf with Jason Bateman. And she is a founding chapter organizer and president of the West Coast organization of Jewish Voice for Peace. They are an organization that believes the people of Gaza should have electricity, clean drinking water, functioning hospitals, and opportunities to rebuild. They are for justice for Palestinians, Jews for justice for Palestinians. And we're going to get to Esty just in a little bit. But first, we got to find out about this new documentary by Ian Halperin. Ian Halperin, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, thank you, Alan. I'm a huge fan, and Carrie, of happy birthday.
Thank you.
You had a great one. I love karaoke myself. I go many, many times during the year in New York, Los Angeles, Miami, and it's a real honor to be on your show because I'm a big fan of Alan. So thank you for having me, and just let's cut to the chase right away. Okay, I'm a big proponent of peace. I've dealt with all the big artists from, you know, I've produced stuff on Lady Gaga, on Brangelina, the Kardashians, Jackson, Schwarzenegger. There's not many left to do. I think I'm going to have to switch jobs pretty soon. But when Roger Waters came to my attention, this was about 2 years ago. I started this film 2 years ago when Dr. Small invited me to Oxford, where he holds a symposium on how to combat anti-Semitism. He brings leading professors from around the world. And the deal is they have to go back at the end of the 2 weeks at Oxford and teach a course on contemporary anti-Semitism. My father is a Holocaust survivor. It wasn't pretty. He's lucky to have made it out alive. His sister died. His mother died of starvation. They hid basically in a pit in White Russia in Poland. Now, I'm not going to mince words, Alan, okay? I want peace, happiness, love for everybody.
But okay? That's not really the issue, is it, Ian?
No. Let me tell you, I was a big activist against apartheid in the late 80s and 90s. As a musician, I also play saxophone. I toured with a band from the townships with a famous South African musician named Robert Bantu Sotole from Guguletu in South Africa. The South Africans who I've talked to are appalled, distraught, and humiliated that Mr. Roger Waters, who's the de facto leader of the BDS movement, which is illegal in many countries now and in several states, is ganging up on Israel. You know, this guy has nothing better to do. Mahatma Gandhi said, listen, an eye for an eye will only make the whole world blind, okay? You could criticize Israel's policies all you want. But to call for an international boycott, to write letters to Bon Jovi, to Radiohead, to Britney Spears, to everybody, I have to wonder if Mr. Waters has a deep ingrained hatred against Jewish people. Why isn't he targeting, Alan, much more serious perpetrators of human rights abuse in the world?
Ian, let me ask you this, though. You know, because Dr. Charles Small, who will be on with us shortly, will probably say that he won't wonder if he does. He will probably say he does show these anti-Semitic opinions and perspectives. Now, with respect to Radiohead, you mentioned, and they did play in Israel, Tom York said, it's deeply disrespectful to assume that we can't make decisions ourselves. Why is Roger Waters sending letters to people, like you said, Bon Jovi, some others, Elvis Costello, who actually didn't play in Israel, a lot of them have. Why does he think that he should be the one who is pontificating what others should do?
Because I think he just wants attention. Look, you know, Roger Waters, he has the voice, and he found something where everybody's going to cover it, but he's missing the boat. Because, you know, I interviewed, first of all, Israel has nothing to do with apartheid system. There's Arabs, there's Muslims, there's everybody living there. Gay rights, okay? I interviewed, in the film, I interviewed the only Ethiopian minister in the Knesset, his name's Avraham Nagis, who lambastes Waters and invites him to come to Israel and see the real country. And if Waters was so concerned about peace, like great musicians have, like John Lennon, Jimi Hendrix said, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. And he is not in the same breath. He's just trying to divide people more and more instead of bringing them together. Music and art, any form of art, the premise is to bring people together and to have a peaceful environment for expression of the human being to other people, and the audience and the performer have this synchronicity and this amazing energy is supposed to engulf the room. And what Waters is doing is dividing bridges even more instead of attempting to bring people together. And I think it's extremely distasteful. And as a Jew whose father is a Holocaust survivor, and I'm a big supporter of Israel, I find it repugnant that Mr. Waters has not visited Israel and met with the proper authorities there to give him the tour of what Israel's really about today and the amazing land it's about. And I interview in the movie, I have Arabs in there, I have Muslims in there, educated people who lambaste Waters and say this guy is extremely uneducated, and maybe he adheres to the words in a song. We don't need no education, because he's not interested in being educated on the facts. And again, to equate the Israel as an apartheid system and to equate it with South Africa is such a deep insult to the South Africans who sacrificed their lives, like Chris Hani, Nelson Mandela, Oliver Tambo. These people really fought. The blacks did not have a vote. They had no rights. If you go to Israel, everybody has rights. There's over 2 million Israeli Arabs living there, and they have votes. And there's Arabs sitting in the Knesset. So Roger Waters on that line. And I got to say, I went to his concert in Miami the other night, and I thought the show was pretty good.
You, after saying all that, you gave him money.
Well, he wanted to see if Roger was going to say something, of course. I have to say something to you. I mean, one of my best friends, Merit, is a Israeli Jew. And I have a lot of Jewish friends. I have Jewish friends. I have Palestinian friends. I have, you know, half my family lives in Lebanon still. So I see both sides of it. My father was a big, huge peace proponent, which most people did not know, that he brought Zionists and Palestinians and Arabs together for peace talks in Los Angeles. And that was one of his, I think, biggest losses in life, was that he couldn't help and he couldn't change things, and that it kept going and kept going, and the fighting was so horrible. But
he did it through music too.
People knew him as the music guy, as Casey Kasem. He was hugely famous when he did this. So people wanted to come, whether it was to see him or whether to really talk about peace. And excuse me. And we're both, this is horrible.
We're in a hospital.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand, you know, I have seen so much of Israel. I have not been there. I've traveled the Middle East extensively. I definitely want to get to Israel. But one way that, I mean, Rogers keeps saying that we want to start dialogue, we want to create peace. You can't do that by likening it to apartheid or people to Nazis. You can't do that. But if you want to start a peace talk, the minute you do that, nobody from the other side is going to listen to you.
But, you know, we're going to have Esty Chandler on in a few minutes, and she's probably going to say, you know, we've had opportunities for peace talks. Look at how much energy has been put in by a lot of people historically.
Yeah.
Now, Roger Waters believes that BDS is the way to do it.
Ian, which has been illegalized in many countries in Europe, and now he's supposed to play in Long Island, and they are challenging him legally to cancel the concerts. Now, I went to the concert, and I walked out at intermission, and I'll tell you why. And first of all, I applaud him at 73 years old for having that much energy and that much vision for a show. Kudos to him. But when he knocked Israel right before the intermission, and he knocked the mayor of Miami for taking out kids, because Miami is an extremely integrated place, and you cannot have any hatred or any form of discrimination in Miami. You will get lambasted, whether it's anti-Cuban, anti-Jewish, anti-Christian, anti-anybody. You got to, you know, this is a very democratic and very politically motivated place for equal rights, Miami. So I walked out at intermission, and I filed a complaint with the American Airlines Arena because he went off about the mayor of Miami, who's Jewish, for taking out the kids because Miami disagreed with Roger Waters' platform. And then he made his anti-Israel statement, pro-Palestinian. But, it, you know, again, an attack against Israel today is an attack against the Jewish people. I walked out. I filed a complaint against the American Airlines Arena for having Waters there, because when you go to a show, let's face it, you could make comments, you could, you know, but pontificating against a certain race is just extreme. What if What if Roger Waters would wear a white sheet on stage and call for the re-enslavement of African Americans? What would happen?
Well, we know what would happen, but, you know, we have to take a quick break, but I'll just say this, because there are a couple of other things that have occurred at his concerts. One is a very strong anti-Trump message where some people have been offended, others obviously cheering that. The question becomes, is that the avenue to be pursuing these political ideas when people pay money? I know a lot of Trump supporters were upset because they paid money to see Roger Waters to hear about it. Obviously, with Jews, it's the same thing, and for other races. So when American Airlines puts their name on an arena, should they stop that? Because maybe we could say that they are supporting what the people in the arena are saying. We have to take a quick break. We're going to talk to Dr. Charles Small after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Hey, it's Peter Tilden, and I want to tell you about Flooring Pros. Their selection and prices are definitely going to floor you because they've got beautiful natural hardwoods, laminates, vinyl, and tile, and they can beat the price of the big national advertiser who you see advertised every day by as much as 50%. And they get it done right because they have an enormous selection and everything is in stock. That means you can get a free estimate one day and installation the very next day. So check out FlooringPro.com. They're on Google. They're on that beautiful website, Houzz, and check out their Yelp reviews. They're fantastic. So for the largest selection and the finest hardwoods, environmentally friendly flooring, laminates, exceptionally trained experts, and the best price guaranteed, call the number one flooring company in Los Angeles, FlooringPro.com at 800-815-1565. That's 800-815-1565. Call them for a free estimate or go to FlooringPro.com.
Flooring Pro, their prices will floor you.
glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We are heavy on the Pink Floyd music today. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. Ian Halperin says Roger Waters has no education. He has come out with a new documentary. It'll be out next month. And the documentary is about Roger Waters and his perspective on Israel and BDS. For those of you who don't know about BDS, you've been sleeping under a rock. It's boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel for their treatment of the Palestinians. And in a few minutes, we're going to bring on Esty Chandler, who is someone who has some passionate thoughts about this subject. She heads the West Coast chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace and supportive of the Palestinian plight, as I think they would call it, and justice for Palestinians. And I think in our first segment, Ian talked about how this isn't necessarily about justice. It's about anti-Semitism. And we'd like to welcome to Gervie's Law right now Dr. Charles Small, who is a world's leading voice on anti-Semitism. He's the director and president of the Institute for the Study of Global Anti-Semitism and Policy. Dr. Small, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be with you.
You know, it's great to have you. I've watched some of your debates, especially at Oxford. And in those debates, you've talked about our world being in the midst of a revolution. Tell us what you mean by the revolution, if you don't have to get that call.
Right. So I think you're referring to the fact that we're living in a time of great upheaval. I think states are failing, particularly in the Middle East and other developing parts of the world. And for various reasons, which I won't get into, we see the vacuum in these societies being filled by political Islam, radical Islam. I'm not speaking about Islam or Muslims, but political Islam is a very specific ideology that aims to replace democratic societies or modern states with caliphates where Islamic old sort of reactionary forms of Islam is imposed on all of society, where they do away with democracy, do away with citizenship. And we see this happening in many parts of the Middle East and in other countries, in places like Syria, in Iran, in Iraq, in Lebanon, and even in Turkey, where these Islamist forces are gaining strength and power. And the terrifying part of this is that they've basically incorporated European genocidal anti-Semitism as a core element of their worldview. They took the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is a European forged document that formed the basis of Nazi ideology, that was incorporated into Nazism, that justified removing Jews from society and ultimately exterminating them. And we can see the exact language and ideology lifted from European fascist Nazi ideology and being a main element of the Muslim Brotherhood, of Hamas, of the PLFLP, which you'll hear about in a moment, and other Islamist organizations that are using anti-Semitism, demonizing Israel, and we see that these horrible, barbaric forces are turning on their own people. There's a genocide in Syria with up to 550 to 600,000 murdered people, 12 to 14 million refugees. The region's imploding because this reactionary force is being unleashed, and while Roger Waters and the Jewish Voices for Peace, the Palestinian wing, the Jewish wing of the Palestinian Liberation Movement, focuses on Israel, demonizes Israel, calls Israel a Nazi, apartheid, fascist, genocidal state. We actually focus on Israel while the world is burning. Where
you know,
Turkey, Syria.
I understand that, and I want to ask Ian something, because you you did all the research and you filmed Wish You Weren't Here, the documentary that's coming out. Dr. Charles Small is actually on that documentary, and he makes comments, but he's Charles Small is talking about other areas. Ian, when you were doing this research, I know this is a silly question, but why isn't Roger Waters speaking out against Syria, against the Sudan, against Iran, against all of these places where rights are being violated?
Alan, it's not a silly question. It's a great question, and it's a very perceptive question, and that's why I'm a big fan of yours, because you're extremely perceptive, and you speak the truth. And I'll tell you one thing. Roger Waters, who I respect as a musician, anybody who's 73 years old and has the courage to keep expressing themselves night in and night out, I can't, you know, have a lot of respect for as an artist. But as a person and a politician, he is wrong. And he should be targeting on unifying people, not disjoining them, not creating more tension, more hatred. He wears a pseudo-Nazi uniform on stage. In my film, I have the leading psychologist in the world who's dealt with survivors and their children. I'm also the child of a Holocaust survivor. She says it's completely distasteful, unacceptable, and borders along the line of hatred and towards a certain people. So, Alan, to answer your question, I respectfully agree with you. Why isn't he, if he's so concerned about human rights, why isn't he on the front lines in Syria? When was Roger Waters last in Baghdad? When has Roger Waters gone to Kabul to give out food to the starving and displaced people there? So I'm telling you right now, Roger Waters, and I say this and I don't mince words, and I challenge Mr. Roger Waters, if he's listening, and I'm sure he is listening, I challenge him to meet peacefully any location he wants, so I could finally get him in the film with his side of the story. Because I'm a journalist, we're about fairness, and Mr. Roger Waters is laughing to the bank at the expense of the Jewish people, at the expense of Israel. Where is Roger Waters? If he's so concerned, why isn't he going right around the world and being the Mother Teresa of rock and roll? All that he's doing is going to every MF bank in America, depositing his money. And if he's so concerned about colonization, he lives in the Hamptons. Let's face it, Alan. If he's so concerned about other people taking other people's land, why is he living in America, Roger Waters?
Right. And, you know, the other thing, he lives in the Hamptons. He's not far away from Howard Stern, who is actually also in your film. And Howard Stern has said a lot of things like, why aren't the Arab countries helping out in the Palestinian situation? And what does Roger Waters want to do with the Jews in Israel? Does he want to send them back to concentration camps? That's what Howard Stern said. Roger Waters' response was simply, well, he's an a-hole. Well, I guess you can say that. People may think that about Howard Stern, but the points that he makes need to be addressed. And
absolutely.
I'm not sure, you know, if we talk to Dr. Small, we can say, why do people support this? Is this getting back to your theory that there is this almost need to, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but to turn the blame against Jews versus really trying, as Casey Kasem did, to find a acceptable solution of peace without just blaming Jews for everything?
It's a great question, and to be honest, I don't have any answer why this happens. But I think, as Ian was saying, the fact that Roger Waters gets dressed up as a Nazi to perform his art, which is his right, is, you know, borderline and troubling to people. But when you dress up like a Nazi and you walk off the stage and you call for a boycott of Jews, just like the Nazis did, it's alarming. So why is this need to blame the Jews? Potentially, I think if we look at the problems of the Middle East, which is beginning to seep into Europe and extend into Europe and other parts of the world, and even North America, perhaps it's easier to blame the Jews and to blame the Israelis for the problems of the world
when the problems we're facing are significant. There's a lot of displacement and marginalization throughout the world. States are crumbling. The refugee crisis, migration, these are, you know, very serious and significant issues. And sometimes I think they're overwhelming even for political leaders. And I think it's easy to blame things on Jews in a sense because that's not really the problem. They're a good scapegoat. And the problem is the dislocation, the crumbling of societies. And while these societies are failing, this reactionary force of political Islam, like Hamas and Hezbollah and the Iranian revolutionary regime, fill the vacuum. And it's a daunting task. These people have power, they have weapons, they're trying to acquire nuclear weapons, and they're training for and carrying out jihad, and they're intent on their mission. So perhaps to buy time, it's easier to look at the Jew.
That may be the case. If you have a different opinion, you can call and talk to Dr. Small or Ian Halperin, who, by the way, is at ianundercover.com. You can find his website there. The number here is 800-222-5222. I know a lot of people are itching to get through. 800-222-5222. Carrie Kasem is itching to say something. Then I want to bring SD Chandler on as well. So go ahead, Carrie.
I just want to know, for Ian and Dr. Smalls, I want to know, is there anything you think Israel is doing to incite this? Because people have said, well, they've you know, not agreed to any of the UN resolutions. They keep building into the Palestinian settlements, which is upsetting the Palestinians, and that's why. What is your opinion on that?
Kerry, first of all, let me tell you one thing. If we boycott every country that has human rights violators, we'd be boycotting the world.
Sure.
Okay, let's call a spade a spade. And my thing is, you could disagree with Israel's policy all you want, and I think you have the right to disagree with Israel's policy. But when you call yourself a human rights crusader, a protester, and a peaceful activist, and you single out one country and not the others, it is highly discriminatory and highly false, and when you compare it to an apartheid system, it's completely uneducated and an insult to, you know, the 24 million blacks in South Africa who were persecuted and oppressed for so long. And I'll tell you this, Kerry, let them come to peaceful debate. No problem. Every country can improve. Let's face it, if we're going to go on boycott, I mean, I have the statistics.
I agree with him. No, he's talking to me. Hold on. I agree with him. And I don't know if you heard this at the beginning of the show. You can't say, as Roger Waters saying, I'm just trying to bring about some dialogue. I'm just trying to bring peace. You cannot call people Nazis. You cannot say this is like apartheid. You can't say that and say, let's come together and talk. I agree. And there are human rights violations in this country and every other country. You are right.
Let me just say this.
On a much more important issue, Kerry, I have one question for you.
Yeah.
What song do you belt out best in karaoke? I'm curious.
God. Wow, is that, trying to get me off the subject.
Come on.
Let me see.
When they go to the karaoke bar, and I go with Judith Regan. You know Judith Regan? She's one of the biggest publishers in the world.
Whenever I'm
in New York, we never talk about the book business, Judith and I. We have the same birthday. But when I go to New York, we end up in a karaoke bar. But everybody does the song they do best first. So which is the one that you're most comfortable with?
Okay, so I can't believe you're asking me this when we're talking about Roger Waters in Israel and anti-Semitism. Okay, here you go.
Don't tell me you're singing Dark Side of the Moon.
Say it fast.
Anything Broadway. Eponine from in Les Mis. I sing On My Own. I sing Dream to Dream. I sing Miss Saigon. I sing anything Sondheim or I guess my dream is to be
I'm totally pissed off here, and I'm going to get my words in.
Go ahead.
You're asking her. She has the right to go to a karaoke bar and sing. As a woman, she can do whatever she wants in this friggin' country. And I
And that's the point.
I want to say something. There are so many countries, and I've traveled all around the world, so many countries that treat women like second-class citizens. And yes. I know there was a women's march not too long ago, but I think it was just simply an anti-Trump march about whatever. The fact of the matter, there are so many countries that show no respect for women in this world, and I want Roger Waters, I'm taking this challenge, I want him to BDS them. BDS those countries.
Oh, my God.
Esty Chandler.
I cannot believe you.
Esty
Chandler. I can't believe I even answered
here.
That question.
I'm going to land in Culver City.
And you'll be here.
Right off my chair, man.
Oh, my God.
Esty Chandler, get on the line. Welcome to Gervie's Law. You're sitting here waiting. I know you're itching to talk. We have to take a break in a minute, but I do want to hear what you have to respond to Ian Halperin and Charles Small as they talk about BDS and Roger Waters' apparent anti-Semitism. What's your perspective from the voice, the Jewish voice for peace?
Thank you very much for letting me on and inviting me to this conversation. Good on Carrie Kasem for understanding that Ian was trying to change the subject and, you know, burn down the clock before a dissenting voice came on. Clearly, there's a misunderstanding amongst this conversation about BDS and the BDS movement. The BDS movement is a Palestinian call. 170 Palestinian civil society organizations came together understanding that they didn't have a government that represents them and decided to take a play from other civil rights movements that used nonviolence and were effective and succeeded. The American civil rights movement, the movement against South African apartheid. When the Montgomery bus boycott happened, nobody complained that people were trying to destroy the state or white people or the country. When the South African BDS movement started, nobody claimed that it was about against white people. This isn't about Jews. It has nothing to do with Jews other than Jews like my family were the people that came to the land of Palestine and threw out 3/4 of the population to create a state of Jews by Jews for Jews. It is not true that Palestinians, even Palestinians who are citizens of Israel, do not have equal rights. It's just not true. Yes,
okay, well, we're going to talk about that in a second. We have to take a quick break. I know that Ian and Charles have something to say. Thank you for listening. This is getting good. You don't want to miss the last segment coming up after the break. This is Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. She's Carrie Kasem. We'll be right back.
We don't need no education.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Attention small business owners, you know how hard it is to get funding to grow your business. Next Wave Funding is a direct funder that can help you get the cash you need when you need it, even if your credit is not that great. If you've been in business for over 1 year, have at least $12,000 in sales every month, Next Wave will purchase your future earnings and give you the money you need. It's as simple as that. This is by far the easiest and best funding for existing businesses. Call 800-430-4566. That's 800-430-4566.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical explosions, exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Staples knows that when the leave behinds for your sales call get left behind at your office, it's time. When you need to print 30 pages and you're 300 miles from the office, it's time. And when the intern packed the Harrington file, not the Farrington file.
Ugh, my bad.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when you can count on Staples. Access your files from email, the cloud, or USB, and then print, copy, fax, or scan them, and get back to business fast. Visit your nearby Staples. It's pro time.
What's the big rush?
It's Black Friday in July at Macy's.
Wait, isn't Black Friday in...
Right, but right now, prices are so low, it's like Black Friday.
In July.
Exactly. And we get an extra 25 or 15% off with our Macy's card or savings pass.
Gotta tell you, these specials are incredible.
And we get free shipping online.
With any $49 purchase.
Okay, what's wrong?
Shouldn't we have had a big turkey dinner yesterday?
It's Black Friday in July, now at Macy's. Exclusions apply, savings off sale prices.
Money. You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervey's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervey.
So it's not really coincidental that we're playing Money, because a lot of this is about money. Oh yeah, it's also Pink Floyd's song. We're talking to Ian Halperin, his documentary, Wish You Weren't Here, about Roger Waters from Pink Floyd and his opinions about Israel and BDS, is coming out next month. You don't want to miss it. It's ianundercover.com. That's the website. You can find out more about that. We also have Dr. Charles Small on the line. He's the world's leading voice. And I just say that. I don't know. There's probably other leading voices on anti-Semitism. Director of and president of the Institute for the Study for Global Anti-Semitism and Policy. That's called ISGAP, I-S-G-A-P. You can look them up, ISGAP. And we have Esty Chandler on the line. She is the founding leader of the West Coast chapter of the Jewish Voice for Peace. That's jewishvoiceforpeace.org. And you can find out their views and opinions on justice for Palestinians. Before the break, Esty talked about a few aspects that she thought was missing from this conversation. And I just want to turn to first Charles Small and then Ian to respond.
So thank you. So first of all, I think you spoke earlier about the rights of women to sing, and I think that's a very important issue, and it's apropos of this issue on Israel, Palestine, and social justice and democracy. I assume Ms. Chandler considers herself to be liberal, in quotations, and yet this mass movement, this reactionary social movement, like Hamas, which just endorsed the BDS movement on the 5th of July, Hamas, which actually kills gay people, subjugates women, silences women in public. A woman cannot go outside unaccompanied by a male member of her family, because that's the law that they impose on women. And they call for the killing of not just Israelis, but also the killing of Jews, and replacing democracy with a very puritanical notion of Islamic law, a very narrow version.
But this isn't about Hamas.
Excuse me, if I can just finish my point before you scream. The fact is, this movement is anti-democratic. It's anti-citizenship. And when we talk about the two-state solution, we talk about recognition of the other. It's a very important issue. And I think that moderate Muslims, minorities, Christian minorities that are being driven out of the Middle East, Jews that have been eradicated from societies in which they lived for thousands of years, in North Africa, in Iraq, in Iran, in Syria, in Lebanon, that there is this slow ethnic cleansing that's taking place throughout the Middle East, not just of Jews, but of Christians, of Copts, of Yazidis, of moderate Muslims who want to live with their neighbors. And the fact that people in the West, like Roger Waters, Ken Loach, and Ms. Chandler's group, supports this reactionary movement is astounding if they're doing it in the name of liberalism. And yes, I think to support moderates who are fighting this reactionary force in the Middle East is essential. We work with Muslims. I hope there'll be a two-state solution. But could you imagine if there were no borders now with Israel? On its border with Syria, we have...
Israel has no borders. Israel has never declared borders.
Please don't interrupt. On the border...
49 minutes. We've listened to one side of this argument.
If I can just... listen, when you speak, I promise not to interrupt you. Can I just please make my point?
I do get to interrupt because I have the controls here. And we're going to get back to you. I was listening to both of you, and Esty, I know you want to respond, and I want to give you the chance to respond. I just want to say one thing, because I've looked at the website, Jewish Voice for Peace, and it's got some interesting videos on it. At nowhere in the video does it talk about Hamas and terrorism and fear that Israelis may have because of a certain segment. And I think what Dr. Small and others try to do is separate. They're not against Palestinians, but there is a segment of the Palestinian people, for better or for worse, who will be digging tunnels, using money to dig tunnels versus infrastructure. So why isn't that on the website so that people will understand a better picture of why there may be fear in Israel if Palestinians are given the right to do whatever they want to Jews and Israelis?
There's also not anything on the website about the virulent extremist settlers, the settlers in Hebron, who teach their children to spit on Palestinian children and throw rocks.
Okay, wait a second.
That's not what we're about. Can we get back to the subject?
Yeah, no, I asked you a question. I just want you to answer it. But you brought on Hebron, and I have a very, very personal story about Hebron. When I was in Israel and I went there and I was looking at tombs and I was doing some actual sightseeing, I got hit in the head with a rock by a little 8-year-old Palestinian kid. And I had to run back to my bus because there were 5 more that came and threw rocks at my head. I was just a damn Canadian that just wanted to go sightseeing. Now go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry that happened to you, but really this isn't what this is about. Ian Halperin has made a career of making films that are hit pieces on famous people. So he has so misrepresented Roger Waters and clearly hasn't ever paid attention to Pink Floyd or Roger Waters or anything that they do and say, because they speak out against all sorts of things. In fact, I went to his concert. His current concert is about, mostly focused on Trump. With the possible exception of Howard Stern, don't you find it interesting, Alan, that he wouldn't let you see the movie, that he'll only let us see the trailer? And most of the people in the trailer who are accusing Roger Waters of anti-Semitism have never met him. In fact, the only one who possibly ever met him is Howard Stern, and I don't believe that that's true. I've listened for 48 minutes to all of you. Anyone who's saying that he's only picking on Israel is trying to pull the wool over your eyes. It's completely untrue. What is at play here is the same tactic that has been used to great effect, especially here in America, and that is to conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. Criticism of the policies of the Israeli government is not anti-Semitism, just like criticism of our government and our administration isn't anti-American. This is about the fact that a fringe political movement, the Zionist political movement, came to the land of Palestine and decided that it was incumbent upon them to remove the people. They wanted the land, but not the people. This is about people who want to go back to their homeland. My family was part of the movement. I do this because I care about the future of my family and the future of the Palestinian people alike. If people want to understand about the Palestinian campaign for the academic and cultural boycott of Israel, they can find out about it. The leaders are our civil society group, BNC.net. It might be .org, where you can read more about it.
Okay, S.T.,
Roger
I just want to...
absolutely not an anti-Semite. Jewish Voice for Peace is looking for equality for all people who live in the land.
S.T., let me just say this. First of all, I'm not clear, and I'm going to let you talk for a second.
Yes.
I'm not clear about what you said, and if you can say it in just one sentence or less, you just said that you wanted to return to your land. Is that what you said?
The Palestinian people want to return to their land from which they were removed.
Okay.
During
Let me just happen
1947 and the first half of 1948.
Okay, you're going to both be able to talk. Let me just respond to that simply. There are a number of people throughout history, and it's in this country and in Canada as well, Native Americans and First Nations people who also would like to return to their land. Go ahead. Ian, you were going to say something.
We owe much to our Native Americans and our First Nations people. We owe much because we broke our treaties with them. But this happened just a couple generations ago. This happened by people in my own family. This is a man-made disaster that can be undone.
Can I say something?
Yeah,
please?
Go ahead.
Can I please say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want Ms. Chandler to understand, and this is very important, under the Ottawa Protocols from the Canadian Parliament and the London Declaration in the British Parliament, more than 68 countries around the world has agreed that singling out Israel for special treatment and the denial of its right to exist is anti-Semitism. And 68 countries have adopted this resolution. There's a lot of scholarship on this. We've written articles about this showing the correlation between traditional anti-Semitism and the demonization or the denial of Israel's right to exist.
Let me make my point. Dr. Small is offering your audience alternative facts.
Okay, go ahead. Make the point. We only have three minutes.
Let me bring it out here, Alan, because I got to make a point. And I'll tell you one thing.
In Hebron,
first of all, Ms. Chandler attacking my film and my career, I'll tell you one thing, man. I've been in this business a long time. And let me tell you something, Ms. Chandler. Denial to you, I think, is a river. Because everything I brought up and about peace for everybody, about peace for artists and not singling out Israel when there's much more serious perpetrators, if you've completely ignored the crux of what I'm talking about. You're so one-sided. And I'll tell you, in life, there's good Jews, there's bad Jews. I have to say, with all due respect to your show, Alan, this woman I deem a bad Jew because she's completely one-sided and completely not open to the facts. Picture yourself, Ms. Chandler, if you were Israel living with neighbors like Iran and Syria who call for the annihilations of the Jewish people in the state of Israel, wouldn't you arm yourself and get prepared? Everybody wants to destroy the Jews. And as a Jewish person, Ms. Chandler, you should be ashamed
of yourself. You are being anti-Semitic, sir. By making the claim that all Jews have to agree with you, otherwise we're bad Jews.
That's a horrible thing for you to be doing.
The reason why Israel is the target of this movement is because the Palestinian people.
This is why we're never going to have peace in the Middle East. You can hear it right here, folks. This is the problem. Nobody's listening to anybody. Everybody has their own ideas. Nobody is going to do anything by just yelling at everybody and putting people down. And that's the problem. And that's what's been going on.
But that's human nature.
It is human nature.
It's going on in this
country
today.
But something has got to be done. Look,
okay,
I don't...
nothing can be done.
I'm enjoying listening to the exchange of ideas.
Because these are all intelligent people who have something to say, and they just disagree. That's what's happening in this country.
I get it, but not putting people down back and forth is not going to help.
The only thing that I can add is what scares me is violence. And there is a lot of violence in the Middle East. There's a lot of hatred.
Yeah.
In this country, there's a lot of hatred, but so far, thank goodness, we haven't seen too much violence regarding what's going on in this country.
Right.
That's really what the problem is in the Middle East with the violence, the hatred, and people wanting to get rid of people. I don't know how we're going to solve this, but I'll tell you that all of you who have joined our conversation have made it, and I know you're passionate, and that's really important. I want to thank, and we have to end this now. I want to thank Dr. Small. His organization is the Institute for the Study of Global Anti-Semitism and Policy, ISGAP. Ian Halperin, good luck with your
documentary. Thank you,
wish you weren't
Alan.
Here.
Thank you for having me on. I wish everybody peace.
Esty Chandler, thanks to you. You're the Jewish Voice for Peace, and it's jewishvoiceforpeace.org.